Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode two of The Psyche Behind the Physique. We are back this Friday with our team empowered head coach. That is myself, Maddie Michelson, and our head assistant coach, Jolie Price. She's here today with us, and we are going to chat about self-sabotage. I think this is something that we have all struggled with, whether you are a competitor, a lifestyle athlete, maybe just getting started in your journey, or finding that your journey is pivoting and what once worked no longer works. And I have just been exploring this a lot for myself as of lately, as I'm finding that I am coming back to the stage and some of these, I guess, deep-seated beliefs in myself are starting to reemerge, and I just kind of want to nip them in the butt. So I have gained some insightful things that I just wanted to share with you all today. And Jolie, of course, will chime in as she wishes to contribute to the conversation.
Yes, I'm so excited to be talking about this with you because it's something that we all go through, no matter what stage in life we are, and no matter if we're an athlete or a lifestyle client. So I'm really excited to be here and chatting with you about this today.
Cool. Thank you. So, first things first, I just kind of want to start off with a brief statement about change. Things are going to stay the same unless we question them, right? So, a lot of times, and this was something that I have talked to with my therapist actually about, we stifle, or I guess squander or push down the things that we really should be questioning. And a lot of times you're only having these self-doubt related feelings or these self-sabotaging feelings because you're having ridiculous thoughts, right? So there's nothing that's really anchored into anything. It's not grounded, it's not rooted into anything. It's just because you're having these crazy thoughts. The problem here is that when you actually believe a thought, is that it takes control of you. So, in that same vein, a thought is just that. It is a thought. The issue is when you start believing it, right? We've all said about our spouse or our boyfriend or our coach, oh, I'm gonna kill so and so, right? But you never actually do it. It's when that thought becomes a belief and it's actualized is when it becomes rooted in something and more concrete. And so that's when our thoughts become damaging. And that's when we can really sabotage what we could essentially bring to fruition, something great. So this is a four-step process that I want to walk our listeners through today in uprooting some of these self-sabotaging thoughts and beliefs. Step one, this is simple. Write this down if you have a pen and paper, and that is to break the pattern. So write down a limiting belief of yours. For me, like my limiting belief was, I can't do this. I can't prep again. I'm now in a relationship. I've got girlfriends. I, have athletes that are competing all over the world. I cannot do this. Jolie, have you had a limiting belief maybe lately that's slipped in, or maybe in your past, maybe not lately, but
I think that as far as, I mean, the first thing that's really popping up into my brain is motherhood, like alone and parenting, how you can parent your children differently and breaking the cycles of parenting from like my past. And so you go into self-sabotage mode because you're just like, well, for me, like I had a mother, love her dearly, but she was a yeller and there were things that I wanted to break and I doubted myself and I'm like, can I actually dive deep into what are my issues and what and how can I become a better parent? So it's really easy to self-sabotage yourself when you're trying to parent your own children, but you don't want to repeat the pattern. So you have to, there's this, so that to me is like my limiting belief, and it's something that we have to work on every single day, as a cycle breaker.
Absolutely. I think you bring up a really valuable point here too, which is something that I haven't mentioned yet, which is that this is a constant effort. It is a constant climb. And I think there's other limiting beliefs or even beliefs in general that we may even have about others, right? Maybe you're listening to this podcast right now and you're saying to yourself, well, I don't have any limiting beliefs. Okay, well, when was the last time that you said that somebody was a bitch? You know, well, Susie's a bitch. Well,
Judgment, right?
that leads me to breaking the pattern, which is asking the first question you must ask yourself when you face these limiting beliefs is it true? Do you have all of the possible information to make this discernment that you can't prep again, this discernment that you are going to be the exact same as your mother. This discernment that Susie is a bitch, right? If you keep asking this, most of the time, you're going to see it's possible that that limiting belief is no longer true. Just off of asking yourself a simple question, which is it true? And do you have all of the data? Something that was interesting, as I explored that was with the judgment comment. A lot of times we're so quick to make judgments about others, even others' placings on stage, right? But we don't have all the possible information to make that discernment. We don't know that yesterday they got in an argument with their significant other and their cortisol went crazy. We don't know that they were peaked improperly by their coach, or they were dealing with a gut microbiota issue, right? And they were forcing this prep. You don't have all the data. So stop yourself. Ask yourself if you have all the data to make that discernment. And then number two here is now we have to get leverage. The thing about change and behavior change and belief change is that change is never a matter of ability. Instead, it's always a matter of emotion. If you say that you can't stop smoking, for example, and a member of a mafia came in with a gun and threatened you to stop smoking, you would. It's not a matter of can in these situations. It's more of a matter of will. And you will if you have strong enough reasons.
Right. And I think
So,
that we have to talk about reflection and what is it about my past, and you recognizing these patterns, like you were saying, and the emotions behind these patterns, and we're truly deep diving and reflecting on it in order to make change and progress. Reflection and recognition of these patterns is what can actually drive you forward to seeing the progress that you want to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Getting introspective and not necessarily, just like we talked about in our last episode, looking for something to distract us, right? This is when you have to dive deeper into those beliefs, and which leads me to this next question, which is how do you feel when you make that statement or say that limiting belief? Are you feeling, what do you experience? When you believe that thought, what does it do to you? Is it provoking feelings of frustration, of overwhelm, of burnout, of guilt, of dissatisfaction? And simply by asking yourself this question, I found this for myself as I was really exploring the limiting belief of I don't think that I can step up on stage again and be successful. Was that it made me want to change. It gave me a reason to change because it was helping me to ultimately carve out the things that I don't want, right? By continuing to believe this, I was revealing to myself by putting a magnifying glass on my emotions and getting reflective that it was causing me to feel like a failure when I hadn't actually failed yet. My mom gave me some advice in relationships a few years back, and she had asked me, you have to ask yourself the question when you're dating someone, if you like the person that you become as a result of being with them. And that really sat with me, even as I was exploring these thoughts and these limiting beliefs. Do you like the emotions that these limiting beliefs are provoking in you?
Yeah, that's a really, really good way to put it. And as you're talking about your reflections, I'm also thinking and processing mine at the same time. Like when I'm thinking about, my mom and how I felt as a kid, and what were my emotions when I was being spoken to in the way that she was speaking to me. And it's like for me, I immediately would go into a freeze mode. We have our fight or flight response, but then we can also go into a freeze mode as well, where we don't really know how to react. It's like your brain literally turns off and you can't move. You can't really breathe. All you're thinking is, if I just sit here and I just say what she wants me to hear, then everything will be okay. I can make it stop. And
Right.
then I start thinking about my daughter and the times that maybe I have, lost my shit. No one is perfect, but I can tell you that I've done the research and I've done the work and I've done a lot of self-reflecting, and it's me simply recognizing and on how I felt during those times when I was being raised and how I don't want my daughter to feel. Because I can see, if I start to, get frustrated and raise my voice, I can see her starting to freeze. And I'm like,
Right.
oh, I see what I'm doing here, and I need to stop, and I need to walk away and say, you know what, mommy needs a minute, and go back, and I will have a calm conversation and apologize. That's one thing that I have done always, is to apologize, and I'm able to repair the relationship in that moment right away, and then move forward and have a calm conversation. But it's about me recognizing the feeling and then seeing that emotion in her and causing the change and breaking the cycles. And that's how we can truly move on and move forward, by simply doing those things.
I love that you referenced in that though. I could tell you internalized what you don't want, right? By continuing to believe those things, by continuing to feed the belief that you're going to be just like your mom. What it
Right.
did was evoked a certain emotional response in you, which evoked an emotional response out of your little girl. And that same thing, like I said, proves true in every facet of life, and especially on a health and fitness journey. If you're finding that you're telling yourself, I'm never going to be able to get a hang of this macros thing, right? When I go out with friends, I can't eat appropriately. I lose my shit with alcohol. I can't have a boundary around that. Well, what is that purporting in you? You are planting the seeds that are growing the fruits of you are worthless. You lack discipline. You lack grit. You lack, self-love in many ways, self-respect. And that snowballs, and it will snowball in other areas of your life, which leads me to number three. So now we really have grown to develop this sort of disdain for this belief, and now we want to change it. So now it's time to annihilate this belief. Ask yourself this question. This is number three. If that thought never existed, how would you feel and how would you behave differently? What would your experience on Earth be like? So now we're actually starting to make that change. So, would you, for example, for me, if I got back on the stage and I was successful, well, I'd feel happy, right? Or what if it was possible? Well, you probably find a way, right? Or it really, what this part of the exercise does, annihilating the belief, exploring how you might feel if that belief just never existed, it never crossed your mind, it puts you in a state to find a way around the limiting belief. And I like to think of this limiting belief like a tabletop. And what we're doing in this exercise in steps one, two, and three, with writing it down, getting that leverage over the belief, asking yourself, what does that limiting belief do to you, how it makes you feel, and now asking if it never existed, how you would feel or how you might behave differently. What we're doing is we're taking these legs that support the table out from underneath it. We're deconstructing this construct, this table. And so now this tabletop is not going to have a foundation to lay on. So now we then brings it brings us to step number four, and that is annihilating the belief. Or excuse me, not annihilate. We just talked about annihilation. This is turning around and saying the opposite. So for me, this is the exact opposite of I don't know that I can, step on stage again and be successful and get an Olympia qualification. Well, just as much as that's true, the opposite is too. I could get an Olympia qualification on the first go. I can't turn pro. Well, yes, you can. I can't lose the 10 pounds. Well, yes, you can. And I know that's easy to say, but studies and science prove that all you need in order to now make this construct true, because now we've deconstructed our old table, but now we have a new tabletop and we need three legs for it. So you need three ways that you know the opposite is true. And now you've built a new belief. So if you believe so strongly that you're not going to be able to turn pro, explore the three ways in which you will be able to turn pro. I had a really interesting moment today happen with an athlete of mine who was talking about she was really nervous to go into a dieting phase. And we have spent, I think, 4 or 5 months now getting her up into a true surplus. She's been maintaining her weight now at over 2,100 calories, and she's a tiny little thing. And she has an untracked meal every week and really healthy relationship with food. She trains in the gym 3 to 4 days a week. She's sleeping well, all the good things. And she's like, I really, before we go into this dieting phase, I really need to explore, why I feel so apprehensive, because I know I'm doing the right stuff. And she was able to pick apart that the last time that she did this past, the only time she's ever done a dieting phase, she didn't track macros. She only tracked calories. She was eating sugar. And by 2 p.m., she was out of calories and not prioritizing protein. She was eating quick grab and go things like bars and whatnot. And so then it was a terrible experience for her. By 2, 3 p.m., she was ravenous. And then what happened was when she went to reverse, all hell broke loose. She gained back a ton of weight. She felt miserable. She felt like a failure. And she was allowing these legs to support the belief that she was going to be unsuccessful in her next dieting phase. And so we talked about deconstructing that belief. Well, since that dieting phase, what has changed? She's now actually spent time getting to a place of perfect peace in maintenance, to the point where she was asking me, maybe we shouldn't start my dieting phase until September, and it's mid-August, because I want to enjoy the nice weather outside of my untracked meals. She's actually in a place of peace now. And so she's done the healing. And this dieting phase will look different. This time she has a well-rounded knowledge of macros. She understands the difference between whole foods versus processed foods. But she had to come up with three new legs to support this opposite belief, which is that she can be successful in a dieting phase.
No, I love that journey for her, and that it just goes to show you that when you actually put in the work and the self-healing, how it can truly transpire in other aspects of your life, like you were saying. I know for myself, like going off and wanting to maybe get away from macros, it's definitely scary. Especially when you get so honed in and you're in prep and then you're reversing, your life is revolving around those set macros. So that way you don't spiral out of control. And once you kind of start to take that away, you don't really want to let go of the control. So you have to find other, like you said, other legs to stand on. in order to have some type of control of this new lifestyle that's coming about. So I love that for her, and I'm so happy to hear that she's loving the maintenance lifestyle. And it truly is a great place to be in when you can allow yourself to be there. And yeah, I mean, maintenance is great. I love it. I'm in love with it right now myself.
I think you brought up just now something that I want to kind of revert back to, and that was exploring what you did in your analysis of analyzing almost your fear and apprehension to going towards more intuitive eating. What you realized was that essentially a lot of your fear stemmed from losing control, right? So what you did in that was almost like step number two, in that you were analyzing what that belief, I can't eat intuitively, was drawing out in you. What that belief was drawing out in you was a lack of self-control. And so what you probably had to find was another means, a healthier way to gain control in your life. What's another area for you to focus that need for control? So it didn't necessarily need to manifest itself in the sense of I need macros in order to feel like I have control over my diet.
Yeah, definitely having something else to focus on and kind of dive into, it definitely helps pull you out of that. And especially with us, Maddie, and our past and our disordered eating patterns, is another way to focus around food, right? When we're talking about macro counting, it makes us feel like we're in control of it. So when we are stepping out of that, we do feel like we're losing a bit of control, but that's a reflection on our emotions, reverting back to when we were having our disordered eating issues. And you have to change the mindset. And it's not an easy thing to do, but maybe taking a little bit of a step back. I know for me, I was like, okay, maybe I don't track my carbohydrates today. It also was a perfect timing because I was going on vacation and I was like, the scale is going away. I'm not bringing the scale on vacation. I am not going to be eating every single meal out of my hotel room. So for me, it was a really good way to see what life could be like on the other side of macro counting and the scale. And I think if I didn't have that vacation, I probably would not have been so open. And I mean, there was a day I was cleaning out the cabinet and I actually threw the scale in the trash. And I pulled it back out because I was like, ah. But I was like, no, I don't want to let it go just yet. But it felt really good to throw it in the trash for that like 2 minutes. But I pulled it back out and I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'm just gonna track my protein because I have a tendency to undereat my protein and I don't want to lose this muscle mass that I have gained and worked so hard to do because I was in the surplus getting ready to go back into a prep at the time. So it was a whole lot of other things happening. I decided to step away from the stage and the vacation was coming and it came at the perfect timing. And then I was able to do a couple months without tracking at all. And it was so. It goes back to what you said about like, how would you feel if that limiting belief was not there? Well, it felt really, really freaking good and really freeing, to be on the
I
other side of
think
that.
that I really love about this team and the work that we do here on Team Empowered is really just the emotional, I guess the care and concern that's paid on emotional well-being and emotional health. It's this stuff, right? Something that you'll see a lot in my social media posts is I'll say we're more than just macro coaching. And I find more and more and more these brave and bold women that are exploring a lot of these traumas and a lot of these self-sabotaging beliefs and self-deprecating beliefs and limiting beliefs that they've had about themselves. And this is really where the true healing I believe occurs on any athlete's health and fitness journey, whether you're, like I said, venturing to turn pro, competing for the first time, having your first baby, recovering from your first baby, getting ready for your wedding, intuitively eating, you name it. Hopefully today, some of the athletes that are tuning in and listening to this podcast are starting to cultivate more of that self-belief in themselves. And are rebuilding their tabletop, and they're destroying the three legs that supported the tabletop of their limiting belief. Hopefully, you guys are enjoying this podcast and you will tune in with us next week. It's such an honor to gather together and to provide this source of information and just chat with you all. If you guys are interested in setting up time with myself or any of our assistant coaches or Jolie, who so kindly joined me on this podcast today, the link is always in the description to apply for coaching with us, and we can set up a one-on-one discovery call to get to know more about you and your goals. We hope you all have a wonderful rest of your week. Take care and be kind to yourself.